an extraordinary story. God's hand guiding all of it, no doubt.
Science and God really are just complementary.
We're in the middle of a war, spiritual warfare.
God doesn't just tolerate us. God loves us.
Rooted in Christ and growing throughout the world, our church is ever ancient, ever new.
Welcome to the Ever Ancient, Ever New show on Holy Family Radio, AM 720, 720 WHYF, your local Catholic station in the greater Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. And I'm your host, Mike Creevy. And I am so happy that you've found your way to the show today, and you may be a repeat listener. This may be your first time listening. So if it's your first time listening, I want to really emphasize this up front. You have stumbled into a pretty fun show, I think a pretty good show, if I may say so. And it's because at the heart of this program is a love for all God's people, and in a particular way for young people, teens, 20-somethings, early 30s, you know, when you're at that sort of age, when you're trying to figure things out, figure out who you are, figure out life's big questions, figure out where your life is headed. There's so many transformational things that happen at that time that it doesn't make it more important than all the other times of our lives. But in a particular way, you know, we see certain challenges arise in living out an authentic faith, an authentic Christian faith, and that's what this show is really all about. So we look at different topics. We have different guests on occasionally, like today. You're just stuck with me. I'm kind of flying solo, which I do from time to time if there's a topic or a specific approach to something that I've just been kind of having on my heart that I want to want to share, want to think about, want to meditate on. So whether you are young or old or in between, this show is for you, because at the end of the day, we all, if we are not ourselves in that kind of age range I was describing, we know someone who is. A loved one, a family member, a friend, someone that is a student of yours, if you're a teacher or you're a catechist or something like that. You know, we all have young people that are in our lives in one way or another, and you know, it's good for us to maybe reflect a little bit from time to time on what might be of concern, you know, or of interest, you know, for people at that age range. So I want to begin, as always, though, with prayer. And let's do that in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask your abundant blessings, your continued blessings on the work of Holy Family Radio. I ask your blessings for all of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our donors and sponsors, underwriters, our volunteers, all the people who make this possible. And ultimately, it is you who makes this possible. We could have all of the money and volunteers and talent and everything in the world, but if it's not your will, it will not see the light of day. And so we ask you, Lord, to bless us all, bless all those who have helped Holy Family Radio in any way in the past, all those who are currently helping us in this mission of evangelization that you have called us to, and all who may be considering it or that we will encounter along the way in our mission to further the gospel and bring people to your Son and your Son to people through the work we do. And we ask all this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to especially invoke our show's patrons, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati and Blessed Chiara Lucia Badano, as I pray. May the two of you pray for us. Amen. So today I want to do something a little different. And, it's interesting. I was thinking about how we go through life, all of us, ceaselessly seeking kind of all sorts of different experiences, right? You know, relationships, gain of some kind, material treasures, whatever it might be, achievements, titles, honors, in our lives, our professional lives, our academic lives, our personal lives. We may spend years in search, right, of the right career path, the right degree, the right academic degree, the right achievements in sports and in other activities in school, maybe. Later on, maybe in life, the dream house, the perfect vacation spot. And basically, or really that ultimate self-improvement method, because there's got to be a method, right? Like there's that perfect book out there somewhere at Barnes & Noble. If I just get this one book and read this, or just follow this one guru or whatever it might be, I will sort of get for myself I will appropriate for myself the tools that I need to sort of get what I need. So we add all these things to our lives. You know, we try to get all this stuff, this honor, this achievement, you know, money, whatever it might be. And there's so many different ways it can happen. But what's going on, honestly, I think what's going on, the more I reflect on this, is that it's not just about greed, though. Because I think a lot of people would say, well, that's just a sign of greed. You know, we in our high school settings or in the college settings, when this is such an important thought, as it always is, but in a kind of a new way, new and budding kind of way, thinking about my career, my future, and I'm trying to make all these plans. If I'm a young person, I'm a young student trying to do this, it makes sense that I'm trying to figure these things out so that I can, you know, have a degree of comfort, of security, whatever it might be. And, you know, even more genuinely, it might just be that I just want to make a contribution. You know, I just want to matter, whatever the motivation might be. So I don't think it's just about greed. And quite frankly, I think there's something bigger going on here. And I think it's something that's very simple and it's right in front of us, and sometimes we forget it. And when I talk to students about this, you know, sometimes you can see it's something that it's like they know it, but they've never talked about it, you know, or not much, or we don't know how to talk about it. And it really comes down to this idea that we always run into this time and again in our lives, this notion that it's not enough, right? It's never enough. We always want more. And that's, like I was saying before, is that just greed? It can be. It can become greed. But I think there's something else going on here, because I think what we're after, you know, we're not so much after the things. Even if we're after the things, underneath that desire for all of these things is a deeper desire. And it seems to me that what we're all really looking for, what we're all really desiring is some, in a sense, some kind of permanence. And if we're really honest about it, it's not really true, I don't think, that we simply want more. We don't want just more. We want all. Right? I mean, we want genuine fulfillment. We want to be full and to be even overflowing, right? Overflowing with life. And that makes sense when you think about it, because what happens? I mean, the more we try to gather things and these honors and these titles and these achievements, you never exhaust it. It's never enough. I always want more. But why do I want more? I mean, the more things I get, the more material things I get, the more specific accolades and trophies. I mean, it can start to clutter, honestly. I mean, if like your walls get covered with like employee of the month and certificate of achievement and all these things, it starts to just look messy, and it doesn't make you any happier. It's because that's not what we really want. We want fulfillment. We want to be filled to the full and beyond and be overflowing. You know, and I really think about it. I challenge you to find anyone out there who would seriously say, well, I think I've had it all. All the life and joy and love and fulfillment I was looking for, I'm good to go. Right? No one says that. We always want more of something. But here's what I just want to throw this out at you. It seems so plain, so obvious, and kind of a no-brainer, but I think it's incredibly profound. And I challenge my students and challenge young people I've worked with in the past and in my own conversations with people. This comes up from time to time. And I like to throw this out there. I've blogged on this before too. The question I always come back to every time I think about this desire for eternity, this desire for permanence, and really focus on the word permanence for a second, something to be permanent. I want something to be just right and then fixed and like that forever. Here's my question to you. Based on what, right? I mean, what is that desire possibly rooted in? If we think about this a little bit, you know, can you think of anything that should be more abundantly clear and entirely indisputable for every one of us, everyone who's ever lived, is that nothing is permanent in the normal course of life, right? I mean, absolutely nothing. I mean, when's the last time you saw anything that was permanent or everlasting? I mean, seasons, right? Seasons come and go. So do the people we love. Quite frankly, so do the people we don't love so much. You know, the good and the bad. Jobs come and go. Good bosses, bad bosses, good looks, not so good looks. My health even comes and goes. And the capstone, beautiful, wonderful experiences in my life, they come and go. The boring experiences come and go, as well as mediocre ones. I mean, everything passes away, right? Yet it's ironic. I mean, everything's passing away, yet there's always something that never passes away in every one of us, and that is our yearning, our desire for that which can never pass away. not just that will last a long time, it'll never dissipate. It'll continue to magnify and grow and expand. This should blow our minds. I mean, from our earliest memories, when you're a kid, all the way up to the last moment, the last breath you draw in life, we are constantly, as human beings, endlessly, everybody, you know, seeking some firm footing in something that is utterly true and good and beautiful and that goes all the way down forever, something unchanging, but also something unchangeable. So not just unchanging, like it hasn't changed yet, and maybe someday it will, something that cannot change, some perfect permanence, some bliss, fulfillment, joy that never goes away because it just is those things. It is that collective experience of joy and, you know, light and peace and eternity, eternal joy. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like heaven. Heaven is not sitting around on some stupid cloud plucking away at a harp. Now, if you love harps and you want to do that, that might be part of your heaven experience. I mean, so that's what I want us just to, you know, today, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, whatever age you are, I just want to kind of get the gears turning a little bit or help give you an excuse to think about something that's more important than most of what we're probably doing today. And that is this eternal desire, this desire for eternity, for eternal bliss, eternal joy, eternal happiness. What does that really mean? What is eternity? This is related to a series that we also have on Ever Ancient, Ever New, that we come back to from time to time about what's called the four last things, you know, death, judgment, heaven, hell. There's particulars about all that, but I want to focus today just on this desire for eternity. And so that's what we're gonna do today. Before we cut to the break, let me just make a mention here. Again, my name's Mike Creevy. I'm the host of Ever Ancient, Ever New, the youth and young adult themed program on your local Catholic radio station. Holy Family Radio could not exist without your prayer and your support. If you can support us in any way with, you know, volunteering, with your time, your talents, your gifts, there's a lot of things that go on here besides recording stuff and putting it on the radio like I'm doing right now. You know, we have a lot of volunteers who just do so many wonderful things, and we could use more all the time. So feel free to shoot me an email, or rather shoot the station an email over at contact@720whyf.com. Check out the website, 720whyf.com, where you can stream the show there. Ever Ancient, Ever New returns after these messages. So don't go away, and I'll be right back.
Holy Family Radio is your Catholic voice in central Pennsylvania, but as a listener-supported radio station, we need your help, not only during our annual pledge drives and speaker series, but throughout the year. Please prayerfully consider a donation of any amount to AM 720. Giving is easy. Visit our website, 720whyf.com, and click the donate page and follow the instructions. And thank you for whatever you can give to Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Ever Ancient, Ever New, and I'm your host, Mike Creevy, and here I am, here I stand, actually, in Studio B, on site, at the studios for Holy Family Radio in Charmantown, Pennsylvania, and this is just awesome. I mean, because you could be listening to this show right now on your AM dial. If you're in the Harrisburg area, I've gotten this signal. It's a little bit of a stretch sometimes. Weather can affect it as well, but I've picked up the station in Gettysburg, York, up the river near, close to Danville, even a little bit. That was maybe a bit of a stretch. I even got it one time in State College, but that was a bit of a stretch. The good news is, wherever you are, and in these days, you know, the way technology works, it's just pretty cool. You can go to 720whyf.com and click Listen Live. And you can just listen to the show when it airs on Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. You can also catch the encore broadcast every Sunday at 2, right after EWTN nationally air or internationally really airs their mass. So 1 p.m. you can catch the mass. If you're listening on Holy Family Radio, it's the EWTN mass from the awesome folks down there in Irondale. And then right after that at 2 p.m., If you missed Ever Ancient, Ever New on Tuesday, you can pick it up at 2 p.m. on Sundays. So you can also listen to podcasts, which I'm posting on the Facebook page. In the future, we're hoping to have some cool next steps with our podcast ability as well. So stay tuned for more on that. But for now, you can go to the Facebook page, Ever Ancient, Ever New Show. We'll bring you there, or on Twitter also, EAEN Show, over on Twitter for just some announcements and some posts I put on there from time to time. So anyways, thanks for tuning in today. And let's jump right back into this topic today, which is I'm talking about the desire for eternity. If this seems like it's somehow highfalutin theology or really, really down in the weeds, I assure you this is right on target. I mean, in everything I would argue that we ever think about, do, has some sort of background rooted in this idea of eternity, of this desire for something else. And you know what's funny? Like I was saying before the break, we try so many things to fulfill this, and it never really seems to work out, because the more we try to add to our lives, achievements, material goods, right, stuff, whatever it is, furniture, maybe you collect stamps, whatever it is, you know, and I'm not knocking any of that, but the more of that stuff we have, for one sense, sometimes our lives just get cluttered because we have tons of stuff. And the more stuff you get, it doesn't diminish any bit at all your desire for more. And I made the case earlier that that's not just greed. Greed's a distortion of that. Greed is when we get so fixated on those things that we just keep getting and getting and getting and getting. But the desire itself is not just the desire for more. The human desire is for all. And who can possess all? Who can experience all? You can't. I can't. If by all you mean all stuff, because, you know, you run out of space for that. But what we're talking about when we talk about eternity is so far beyond even any notion of time and space that we not just have trouble imagining it, we can't imagine it. It's impossible to imagine it sufficiently. We can try, you know, we can imagine certain things. We can imagine a lot about what it's not like, you know. And ultimately, what we're talking about here with, you know, eternal bliss, eternal fulfillment, eternal non-ending magnification of my being and my experience of everything I was meant to experience, everything I was made for. That's really what heaven is all about at the core of it. And we'll talk about that more in depth some other time. But I want to share this here. This is great. A lot of this today stems out of this quote from C.S. Lewis in his fantastic book, Mere Christianity, which is a series of radio broadcasts he made during World War II, kind of an apologetics focus, you know, trying to explain the Christian faith to an increasingly post-Christian Britain, and then by extension, really the rest of the West. And Lewis has this great line. I've always loved it, and I have it highlighted and in my very beaten up and wearing out copy of this book, but I have the quote here. He says, "The Christian says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find myself in a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. If that is so, I must take care, on the one hand, never to despise or to be unthankful for these earthly blessings, and on the other, never to mistake them for the something else of which they are only a kind of copy, or an echo, or a mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that country and to help others to do the same." So eternity, you know, eternity, eternal life. We talk about eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 says, "And this is the promise which he himself made to us," talking about God, the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. So scripture is very plain, right? Eternal life is God's promise. You know, it's the, that's heaven. That's the fulfillment of everything. It's the peak, the purpose, the magnet that's supposed to draw us to it. And every time we sin, we fight against that, you know, that God is drawing all men to himself. That's what eternal life is ultimately all about. St. John Paul II, in an audience in 1985, he said, talking about eternity, he said, God's eternity must be understood as the indivisible, perfect, and simultaneous possession of an unending life, and therefore as the attribute of being absolutely beyond time. You know, so in other words, God himself, and I'll try to keep this brief, I mean, God in his inner life, in his experience of just being who he is entirely present to himself. In other words, the perfection of being, that God is being itself with a capital B, if you want to think of it that way. And then the rest of us, you know, if you want to think of it this way, this is one way it's been described, have a sort of analogy of being. We are, we exist, but our experience of being, our experience of life, of just living life, of being, of existing, is stretched out through time. Okay, so I am right now who I was 15 years ago in one way, but in another way, I'm very different than I was 15 years ago. Sometimes our lives, we face such a radical change or transition for good or for bad that, you know, you fast forward 10 years and you look back, and if those two sort of moments in time were frozen and brought together, would you even recognize yourself? You know, like right now, let's say you're like, you know, 65 years old and you've changed a lot from where you were. You had a really rough youth and you were like 15 and you were just this terrible person. Now you had a conversion and you've become this person who gives back to their community and you're loving and all that kind of stuff. If you were launched back to, you know, 50 years ago and you see your teenage self, would you even know yourself? That's pretty profound, right? I mean, that you can change that much. Sometimes we don't change that much, but everybody changes because time itself is essentially, you know, when you really break it down, one way of describing what time is a measure of change. You know, so time, right, it's just measures change, measures changes, whatever it is. You know, your aging, your growth, you know, your death, seasons, all that kind of stuff. In God, there is no change. God has no potential. That sounds mean, right? Like someone, if you had a mean teacher once who's like, you have no potential. Well, to you, that might be an insult. To God, that's a great compliment. Because if God has no potential, you know, in the experience of God, what we're talking about is that God has nothing that he hasn't sort of achieved yet that he has to do to reach a certain point. God is perfectly everything he could ever possibly be all at once, now, forever. He is perfection. Can't get more perfect than perfection. You can't get more true than truth itself, more good than goodness itself, right? You can't be more beautiful than beauty itself. God is, right? He says that to Moses, I am who am. I am that I am. It is God's, in God's case, it is his very nature to exist in perfection forever. Always has been and always will. So when we talk about eternity, eternity is not just infinite time. Eternity is not, expressly speaking, you know, it's not exactly just, you know, like infinite succession of events, like really great things. Like, because we think about that in heaven, you know, when you're a kid and you imagine what heaven's like and you're like, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to have this, I want to have all the candy. You know, you get pretty bored after a while, right? Trying to imagine even everything you possibly can. I mean, you're limited in what you can even possibly conceive of eternity being. That's why we have this desire that transcends even our imagination. That's why we get so frustrated when here and now we try to get all those things, right? All those things that we want to have that we think, if I just have all this stuff, my life will be happy and I'll be fulfilled and I'll have everything. I have this friend and that person and this person likes me and I have this stuff and that car and this job and this much money. Then it'll be good. Everything will be good and I'll have everything I want. Well, you won't. You won't, because what you want, what I want, what everyone wants, everyone cannot possibly be attained in this life. Because what we want is everything. We want fullness, fulfillment. We want infinite, permanent, eternal, just never the blooming, the development, the explosion of just beauty and light and life and joy and happiness and meaning to just never, never, never stop expanding and growing and, you know, just drawing us ever into that unimaginable experience of the life of the Trinity. So, how's that for you? More to follow, but this is just to give you a little taste of this. The desire for eternity is a great little clue that we are meant for a world beyond this one. So, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm Mike Creevy, host of Ever Ancient, Ever New. Thank you so much for stopping by today. Shoot me an email over at eaenshow@gmail.com or check us out on Facebook, Ever Ancient, Ever New Show. And until next time, make straight your ways and hope in Him. God bless.